There's a special spirit in this place tonight. Psalms 91 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. See, it doesn't matter what you're going through. You have to just get to the point that you say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I don't understand what's going on. I don't know where the storms are coming from. I don't know where the wind's blowing in my life. I'm trying to do everything you want me to do, but the storm is coming. But I know the master of the storm. I know the peace speaker. I know the one that walks on the water. I know the one that can calm every storm in my life. I want you to stand. We're going to sing this again, Brother Long. Oh, God wants to do something tonight. Something above and beyond what we can think or we can act. We just got to turn loose and let him have his way. Cover me. Cover me. Cover me. You may be seated. Cover me. Oh, cover me. You know, I know I have to give you a title. I didn't know how this fit tonight in this message, in this lesson. But before I read the first scripture, I'm going to read you something that I wrote down on my sheet of paper tonight. Brother Gardner and I were talking before this service, and I shared it with him. I want you to listen to what I said, what I wrote down. I wrote down, a non-believer, disbelief will never nullify who God is nor his promises. Listen to what I said. A non-believer's disbelief will never nullify who God is nor his promises. Just because they don't believe God exists or God can do anything, I'm here today to tell you that does not change who God is. God is God whether they believe or not. And God, whether they believe or not will not change my belief in who God really is. You got to get to the point that you understand, I know who my God is. I know in whom I trust. Understand tonight. Can I have Revelation chapter 1, verse 18? Will you stand? I'm just going to read this one verse, but I'm going to move around a little bit because I just want to talk a little bit. Here, Jesus speaks in Revelation 1 and 18. He makes a statement, says, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. That's a pause to remind you that you're supposed to pause and think about what he's saying. He said, I was alive, I was dead, and behold, I am alive, not just for a short period of time, but forevermore. Amen. And I got the keys of hell and death. We live in a society that is worried about death, that worried about hell. But Jesus reminds us tonight that he holds the keys. Nobody else holds the keys, but our Savior holds the keys. You got to get to the point that you understand what he's trying to tell us tonight. The title of the message is The Equation. Shall we pray real quick? Oh, precious Heavenly Father. You are God. You are the Lord of lords of all things. All things belong to you, Father. All souls are yours, O Lord. We've come in this sanctuary tonight, Father, because you are worthy to be lifted up. You are worthy to receive the praise and the glory, Father. Father, we ask that you take your word tonight, Father, that you bless the reading of your word. You bless the hearing of your word, and more so, you bless the doing of your word, O Heavenly Father, that you be lifted up and you receive the glory and honor tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. We say amen and amen. You may be seated. It's interesting when we study, when we look at the Bible, something interesting takes place. People are always trying to discover who Jesus really is. I'm in the office today. I'm seeing patients. And one of my patients gets into a discussion about atheists. I don't know why I get them. Atheists. Now you got a picture. He's sitting on the exam table. And he wants to talk about atheists. And I give him my same simple line all the time. There is no such thing as an atheist. There is not. Understand that there are only two types of people in the world. They're not male and female. They're not black and white or green or gray. They're not old or young. There are only two types, saved and unsaved. That's all you got. When you get to the end of the story, that's all there's going to be. So an atheist, I told him, was simple. An atheist is a sinner who denies the existence of God to justify their behavior. Understand what I'm saying? We got a society out there today is trying to pretend that God doesn't exist. But I'm here today to tell you, my book says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's too late for you to tell me God doesn't exist because you cannot explain to me in your little brain how all this came to be. Because if you can, I'm waiting to hear how this happened. Okay? There is no such thing as a theory of spontaneous combustion. Okay? There cannot be when we look at it from human eyes. Because even if you tell me spontaneous combustion existed, the material had to come from someplace. So you understand. So now we're sitting there and we go have a discussion, but he cannot answer the question to me how he explains how things began. They can say, well, he doesn't exist. But they cannot explain how the earth began, how heaven exists, how the trees grow, how the sun stays, how the earth is just the right axis. See, they can't answer all those questions when you really start putting them to the test. But I'm here today to tell you, Jesus reminds us about how it all began. And Jesus is not just some second person in the Godhead. Let me help you out. He is not second. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. That's who he really is. Now, we know who he really is. Now, we got to follow the story along because it's interesting when you study the New Testament. We struggle sometimes trying to figure out who Jesus really is. But I thought about today, how come the demons knew who he was? When he showed up, legions knew who he was. If they didn't sit there and scratch their head and say, we don't really know who you are. But they knew who he was. Jesus comes walking on the water. The storm's there. He walks out, speaks to the storm. He calms the storm. How come the storm knew who he was? Because he was God manifest in the flesh. So we say Jesus was he that liveth and was dead and liveth forevermore. What does he say? He says, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You never have to worry about God changes. He's not like Missouri weather. One day is 85 degrees, the next day is 57 degrees. One day you got your air conditioning cranked way up, the next day you're freezing pulling up the blanket at night. But I'm here today to tell you, it's great to serve an unchanging God. Listen to me, that's one of the best things that can happen to you. There is nothing in this world that's more reliable than God's promises. There is nothing. I can tell you I'll meet you tomorrow at 7 o'clock in the morning. Or you can tell somebody you will be to work tomorrow. But you know what? You can't guarantee that. You can say, well, I'll be there at 5 o'clock. How you know you're going to get there at 5 o'clock? You can't get there at 5 o'clock unless God allows you to get there at 5 o'clock. First of all, you got to be alive to get there at 5 o'clock. And if you think you got control over when you take your last breath, I want to talk to you. Because you understand something I don't understand. Because understand something. The guy that didn't wake up this morning, he wasn't ready to take his last breath. Are you trying to rush somewhere for 5 o'clock? You get stuck in traffic. It reminds you that you are not in control. That God is control. The Bible says, what does it say? If the Lord willing, I'll be there at 7 o'clock. Because that acknowledges that God is in control. The Bible says, the earth is the Lord's, the fullness therein, and all they that dwell therein. So you can sit there and argue, well, I'm this, I'm that. No, you belong to God. See, if you understand that in the beginning, you understand things. Ezekiel 18 and 4, what does he say? He says, all souls are mine. So there's no discussion. So if we belong to God, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's unchanging. He's alive. Then we should be able to go to him and talk to him and have a discussion with him. Listen, if we accept the fact, and I wrote this down, that if God created us and placed us on the face of this earth, he will not leave us alone to our own self. Think of this. If you go out in your backyard and you plant a garden, you dig it up, you plow it, you plant it. You're not just going to leave that garden alone and not come back and check on it. Let the weeds come, let whatever happens. It's your garden. What do? You take care of that garden. So understand, God will take care of you. He will take care of you. What we wrestle with sometime in this lifetime is fear. Fear knocks at the door of our heart. People run around, they're afraid of everything. They're afraid of the weather. They're afraid of somebody walking down the street. They're afraid, something's going to happen tomorrow. The world is falling apart. The world ain't falling apart. God has control of what's taking place. Understand something. When fear shows up and knocks on the door of your heart, You know what the answer is? It's faith. It's faith. That's what faith's all about. Understand? So now we know who God is. He shows up. But there's something interesting that begins to take place along the way. He reminds us that all power in heaven and earth belongs to him. He didn't say some of the power. He says all power in heaven and earth. Give me Matthew 28 and 18. She's trying to get, I'm having a move around. And Jesus came and spake to him and says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, if you tell me, he says, all, tell me if there's a circumstance that he can't control, he can't fix. If all of the power belongs to him, he can take care of any circumstances. He didn't say, well, I got some of the power. He said, I'm sharing the power. He says, all power in heaven and earth belongs to me. So what are we worried about? What are we worried about? If he got it all, can we not go talk to him? Can we not have a discussion with him? Give me Hebrews 13. What's interesting in the discussion here tonight is he knows who he is. We have to understand who he is. It's interesting when he comes to his disciples and he asks them, who do men say I am? Some says he's a liar. Some says he's a prophet. But he comes around and says, you know what, guys? It's not about who they say I am. Who do you say I am? What he's saying is, you've got to get to a point that you understand who he is for yourself. You're not going to go to heaven in a group because 4 out of 5 of y'all know who he is. If 4 out of 5 of y'all know who he is, 4 going and 1 staying. What does he say when he comes? He said, listen, guys, there were 2 in bed. 1 was taken, 1 was left. I mean, somebody didn't go. But he didn't say that. He says, listen, I came that no man should perish, that all men should inherit eternal life. So he came to say, I'm coming to save everybody. Now, whether or not you get on board, that's your own decision. That's not his decision. He didn't say, well, you can't go. No, you can go if you want to go, but you have to make a decision. Listen, it's like going to school. When you sign up to go to school, you want to go to college and stuff. I tell people all the time, they say, I just want them to let me in. I just want to get in. I just want to get in. That's correct. You want to get in. It's their job to let you in, but you got to get yourself out. See, let me explain it in spiritual terms. You want to be saved, and Jesus said there is a way to be saved. You got to repent. You got to be baptized in my name. You got to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That just gets you in the door. But now you got to get yourself to the next level. You can have as much of God as you want. Don't worry. He's not going to run out of stuff. He ain't going to run out of power. He's not going to run out of his grace. He's not going to run out of his mercies. But you can have as much of him as you want. But you determine how much you want. But you have to make up your decision about living for God. So now we establish that everybody, demons know who he is. He looks at Peter and Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. In your own heart, you have to figure out, do I believe who he really is? Do he really is? Give me Matthew chapter 16. This is where the discussion takes place. Start with verse number 13. It's familiar. But Jesus has been walking with him for a while. He asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that the Son of Man am? We live in a world today that they still can't figure out who he is. One of the reasons they can't figure out is because they don't want to figure out. See, if I figure out who he is, then I got to accept him for who he is. But he asked the disciples, says, who do men say I am? What does the crowd say? Listen, what's popular is not always right. What's right is not always popular. Why do I say that? Because the Bible tells us the road that leads to hell is broad, it's wide, and many therein find it. Which means not only they find it, but they're going through it. Okay? So if you ask the Son of Man, most men, who's going to say it, they're going to tell you something different. Because the majority of them wrong. Okay? They're wrong. Give me the next verse. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say it's Elias. Others say Jeremiah. Or one of the prophets. But understand something. They're trying to figure this whole thing out. But if you take that, then you are bringing him down to a level that he's not going to be at. John the Baptist understood it. He said, listen, that cometh from above is above. That which is coming from the earth is the earth. Understand what he said? Listen, we live in a fleshly body. But Jesus Christ came from above. He is from above. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. Listen. So John the Baptist understood that. We understand that. But the disciples are struggling. Give me verse 15. He said to them, but whom say ye that I am? The Bible says, study to show thyself approved. A workman who needeth not be ashamed of the gospel, rightly dividing the word. So you got to study for yourself. One of the most interesting parts of the Bible is, we talked last week was Pentecost Sunday. In the middle of the book of Acts, the second chapter, why does Peter say in the middle of it, save yourself from this untoward generation? In the middle of revival, he throws in a line that looks like it came out of nowhere. Because he told him, you got to sort this out for yourself. You're not going to heaven because grandma went to heaven. You're not going to heaven because grandpa prayed. You're not going to heaven because your spouse did something. You're going to go to heaven on your own merit, what you did. We're part of the church. But you got to understand of being part of the church. Just because you show up and sit on the pew does not mean you're going in the right direction. A lot of people go to church, but they're not in church. They go to church. Well, I go to church all the time. But are you in church? Are you really part of the church of the living God? So now once we figure out who Jesus really are, and we struggle sometime in that arena. Because you got people out there trying to tell you something all the time. Give me 1 Timothy 1 and 15. But as we move through life, we got to begin to grasp some things. Because we're going to go through some storms. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. It's not just about knowing who Jesus is. We have to admit who we are. We got to admit who we are. We're sinners. We all are. If Paul, who wrote the majority of the New Testament, can say, you know what? Save sinners, of whom I am chief. So Paul says, I am a sinner. We have to get to the point that we admit we have sinned. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we're all in the same boat. You may be sitting in one seat, I'm sitting in another seat, but we're all in a sinner boat. The Bible tells us if you say you don't have sin, It calls you a liar. I'm just telling you what the word says. So I have to admit I'm a sinner. That means I cannot get myself to heaven. I cannot get there. Muhammad cannot get you to heaven. Buddha cannot get you to heaven. They cannot get you to heaven. You can pick Hare Krishna. You can pick whatever you want. But I can tell you one thing. They can't get you to heaven. Jesus is the only one that says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. Discussion in. You can tell me whatever you want to do. He says, no man cometh unto the Father except by me. So you can't get to the heaven by saying you believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You think all three of them are equal. They're not equal. They're just Jesus Christ. They're just Jesus. So he says, you got to come through me to get to heaven. But getting through him means coming to him and believing who he says he is. Hebrews chapter 11, the great chapter of faith, says what in verse 11, verse 6? For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You got to have faith. We all have faith, but the question becomes, where do you put your faith? Understand something? Even, remember when I told you about the unbeliever? He got faith. He just got it in the wrong spot. When the Israelites in the Old Testament first went to discover and go into the promised land, each group got rewarded according to their faith. Listen to me. There are 12 of them we know that go out. Now they come back and they bring in everything. They bring in grapes, they see everything. But the problem was they see a lot of little opposition. They saw the Amalekites. The Amalekites. So 10 of them bring them a bad report. Well, we saw ourselves as grasshoppers in their eyes. Now, how can you see through somebody else's eyes? Please help me understand that. So you're saying, through their eyes, we saw ourselves as aggressive. No, you misrepresented yourself. Now, your God done got you out of Egypt, done guided you across the Red Sea, feeding you with manna, giving you, well, and you trying to sit around and say, well, I just see myself looking through their eyes as a grasshopper. Okay, so you 10, that's what you see? You will get rewarded according to your faith. Joshua and Caleb, they said, we are well able to go up and possess the land. They understood that through their own ability, they could not possess the land. The Bible says, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? Listen, as we live in these last days and we prepare for what I call the ultimate revival, we don't have to be afraid about what's taking place. God said he's going to give you revival. He's going to give us revival. You can stand on God's word. Sometimes we're trying to sit down and figure out how God's going to give us revival. That's not our job to figure out how he's going to give us revival. Your job and my job is just to believe that he's going to give us revival. Listen, the Israelites prayed for 400 years to get out of Egypt. They didn't have a clue how they would get out of Egypt. The first time they thought they could get out of Egypt, Moses comes along. He kills the Egyptians. Now think of this. Picture this. There's no way the Israelites, I don't care how many Israelites they were, they're going to kill all the Egyptians. Because first of all, the Egyptians had all the weapons. Okay? The Israelites work out there. They're working in the field. They're building brick. But they really don't have any swords. They don't have any arrows. They don't have any spears. So how are they going to have a mutiny and take over Egypt? They were never going to take over Egypt using man-made tools. We're never going to have revival using man-made ways. God doesn't work like that. God's not going to keep you revival through man-made way. If we sit there and say, well, we're going to have revival if we had a choir, if we had better singers. Let me tell you something. We had a bigger church. We had a bigger screen. That's not what God's all about. God's going to give you a revival because you got five people who are anointed to sing. God's going to give you a revival because you got people who believe in him. He doesn't need all that stuff to have church. Listen, I tell people all the time, Brother Bill started, we're talking about old time stuff. I'm hurrying to a close, but I'm going to tell you something. Go back to the old days. I always tell people, when there was a sister who you knew couldn't carry a tune. Okay? She couldn't carry a tune. But all of a sudden, she get up under the spirit and anointing and start singing. And something happened in that church. I'm telling you, some of you may not remember those days, but I can remember those days when she would start singing, and all of a sudden the spirit started moving in that church. And next thing you know, everybody in the spirit. Listen, God don't need no choir. God don't need no fancy instruments. He needs us to get in one accord and get where he needs to be and where we need to be so we can meet him there, and then we can do something. Oh, we're talking about a summer of fire. We can make this a summer for Southwest Missouri and Springfield and the nation to remember. To remember. Think about this. We see fires. We see forest fires that burn up a whole lot of land. But you realize that fire started with just one flicker. One flicker. It just took one little flicker of fire to set everything on fire. It's interesting that the fire burns best when everything is dry. Right now, Springfield, Missouri is dry. They need a little revival. Shall we stand as I come to a close? As I come to a close tonight, saying it's time. It's time for revival. It's time for revival. Listen to me. There's time to stop waiting. It's time to remind everybody you cross, time is drawing short. Understand that God is faithful to his promise. God is faithful to his people. God is ready. The question we have to answer tonight, are we ready? It's not whether God's ready. It's whether we're ready. We're ready. Remember I told you about the guy who wanted to let into school and had to get himself out? We have to do the work too. We have to do our own work. The Israelites left Egypt, but they had to walk to the Red Sea. The Bible says they walked across on dry land. They had to walk across to get to the other side. If we're going to have revival, God will only do what he can do and what he's willing to do. He will not do what we can do. It won't happen. Shall we pray as I come to a close tonight, as we come? Let not fear keep us from living for God. Let not fear, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. He's given us the spirit of power and of love and of sound mind. Oh, precious Heavenly Father, as we stand on the threshold of the summer of fire, Father. Father, we ask now that the fire begin within us, oh, Heavenly Father. Father, reignite it within us, Father. Father, we know along the way, Father, if it flows from us, It will flow and jump and move, and we will see things that we've never seen before, Father. Father, that's what gets us excited, Lord. Not looking back, Father, at the things that you've done, Father. Let us not forget those, Father. But as they say it, Father, we want to experience them for ourselves, Father. Father, we want to know that you're still God. We want to know that you're having your way, Father. Father, lead us and guide us and direct us, Father. Father, for we come today to lift up your name, Father, because you said, Jesus, if you be lifted up from the earth, you would draw all men unto you. We've come today to lift up your name, to draw men unto you, Father. Let you receive the praise and the glory and honor, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You're dismissed a little early in the name of the Lord.